Welcome, everybody, to the Bartender's Jukebox Podcast. On this episode, I interview Miss Kelly Slaughter, the Slaughter daughter. Coming up, also, I will be uploading the Rob Noxious interview, the Kid Cash interview, and the Jay Savage interview as well. Coming up this Thursday, I have Mr. Jason Knight on as well, the sexiest man alive, self-proclaimed on Earth, as Paul Heyman would say. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and all that good stuff to the Bartender's Jukebox. I greatly appreciate it. So without further ado, let's get into this interview. All right, welcome everybody to the Bartender's Jukebox. I have the awesome Slaughter daughter here right now, Miss Kelly Slaughter. Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm well, Mark. How are you?
I can't complain. I can't complain. Nobody listen anyhow, right?
Right.
So everybody knows your dad, Sergeant Slaughter. Let's talk about you. So growing up, were you born when your dad was currently a wrestler, or were you born after he started?
So he was wrestling since before I was born.
Okay. So you kind of, you grew up into it.
Yes. I don't know any different.
So to you, wrestling was just the norm where, you know, it just, that's what your dad did. And, you know, that's the way you've seen it.
Yeah, that's what he did for a living.
How was it growing up as a kid, you know, with your friends and stuff like that? Did they know he was a wrestler? Did it?
So there was, like in the beginning, so like when I was little, so it was like early as I can remember. once I found out what my dad was, I was maybe five-ish years old. Four or five when I found out who my dad was. And it wasn't like they sat us down or anything, but it was just like, what do you do for, I don't really know how it came up, but my recollection of it was that's how young I was. And when I realized who he was, and people knew in our neighborhood, we lived in a neighborhood in Charlotte, and people knew like who he was. And when we moved to Connecticut, when I was in the first grade, that's around the time that G.I. Joe was happening, when he signed with G.I. Joe. And the kids there did not care that he was my dad. Like it was, they didn't care. They made fun of me for it. It was definitely used against me. And I think probably part of that was because I was so proud of who he was. Mm-hmm. I probably would have been considered a showboat, even though back then I didn't know what that was. But I was just proud of who my dad was, you know, and I wanted everybody to know, and they did not care. So
their loss, right?
Their loss. And so, yeah. And, but my friends from then, you know, we're all still friends, and they know him as Mr. Remus. You know, like Sarge was not allowed in our house. He had to leave that in the locker room, you know? Mm-hmm. So they, my friends, you know, now when we talk about it and they're like, we never saw your dad like that. Like we never saw him yelling like that. Like that's just not who your dad was. And that's what, Sarge isn't my dad's personality. You know what I mean? It's a character. So they're like, that's Mr. Remus. So then when we see him on TV, we're like, who is that?
Somebody had asked me in one of the questions. They said,
I wonder if her dad would cut a promo on her to do the chores to get them done or do the dishes or something like that. I said, I'd be a little terrified if that was the case.
No. He if he ever tried to be Sarge in the house, he was immediately shut down. It was not allowed at all. And we didn't like we were like, no, Dad, we are the boss. Not you.
Definitely the flip side from what you see on TV.
Yes, very much so. I mean, don't get me wrong, like he's still a very big man, and getting into fights and arguments with him were, could be very, very intense.
I could imagine.
Yeah, and so, but I would stand my ground. I mean, I didn't flinch or, hide. I stood there and, like a man, I guess.
Stood toe to toe with Mr. Remus, not the Sarge.
I did. I stood toe to toe with that man many times, many times. And
Nice.
yeah.
Not many people would be able to get away with this, I think.
No, I think my sister and him never really got into it like he and I did. But
Clashing personalities, too much of the same.
probably. Although they do say I'm a lot like my mom.
Okay. All right.
So, and they did end up getting divorced, so.
Well, that would make a lot of sense why you and him go head to head.
Yeah, no, but it's just I just my whole life have been I'm gonna stand up for myself, and if I think something's wrong or I don't think it's fair, I'm gonna stand up and say that. You know what I mean? Like that's just who I've always been. And so like if my dad was telling me I couldn't do something and I didn't think it was fair, I was gonna be like, no, I'm gonna do whatever I want.
And
So
try and prove them
it was
wrong.
more like Kelly not listening to the rules, whereas my sister listened to the rules. So that's why I was the one always getting in trouble.
You were the rebel. You were the rebellious one.
Very, very much so. Yeah.
You are very big into fitness. Did you and your dad exercise growing up together? Like, was he the one that got you into it, or did it just happen over time?
No, we he my dad really didn't work out a lot
Okay.
either. We did have like a little gym in the basement, which I found out the other day. Somebody owed him money for like a show or whatever, and so they gave him this like home gym equipment. So that's how we ended up with it. But I would actually sit down there and do my homework. I would like lay down and do like hamstring curls while I like did my homework or like read or I don't know. I was just messing around, being dumb because I didn't want to do my homework.
At least you traded one with the other. I mean, yes, the homework, yes, it's good for learning, but exercise as well is good for the body. So it balanced out for
Yeah.
you, I think.
Yeah, exactly. My dumb body. But no, he really didn't work out that much. I actually had a late start in my fitness journey. I didn't really get into fitness until about 4 years ago.
Really? What motivated you to make that change?
Well, I was considered morbidly obese. I had considered getting gastric bypass or a bariatric type of surgery twice. Like I literally was this close to having it done, and I decided I didn't want to do it. And then COVID happened, the pandemic happened, and in the beginning, it was very much like being obese was a high risk factor. And I'm like, there's no way that I'm going to allow this virus to take me away from my kids, you know? And because I sit around and I eat crap, and you know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna let this take me away from my kids. So it was like a combination of COVID, the pandemic, and my kids. Like, my kids are my why. And, I'd always struggled with my weight throughout my whole life. And my, I wasn't always morbidly obese, but I had two pregnancies, and very big pregnancies. My son was 11 pounds when he was born, and my daughter was 9'10". Okay. So, and she had, I had a condition where I had excess amniotic fluid, so that like made me even bigger. So that was fun. And so it was like after that is really when I, you know, was at my highest.
Okay.
So she was, let's see, she was a little over a year when the pandemic hit. So she was like a year old and I started walking and I'd have her in the stroller and I'd push her through. And, I literally could not walk 5 mailboxes. So I always talk about baby steps. Like when I talk to people about fitness, I'm like, you don't have to, if you're just starting out, you don't have to go take a fitness class. Like yeah. if you don't feel like your fitness level is there, which let me say, I teach a fitness class and I can give you very low options and we can modify and get you where you need to be. But what I'm saying is you can walk 3 mailboxes and then walk back. And then the next day go 4 mailboxes and then come back. And then the next day go maybe 7 mailboxes that time and then come back. But that is what I did. And I worked myself up to walking a mile. And then I was like, oh, I can do a mile. Let me see if I can, if I do this one loop around my, this one street, that's like a circle. Let me do that. I'm going to add that to my walk. And so I did that. So then I was walking a mile and a half and I worked up to walking 5 miles a day. And it took me a long time to walk that, you know what I mean? Then I would like, yeah, but I did it. And then I would run some of it and then I would walk and then I would run and then I would walk. So I was like doing interval training, not knowing that that's what I was doing. I just wanted it to go by faster. And I had my daughter too. So I'm walking with her for 2.5 hours. You know what I mean? And she's like, okay, I'm ready to get out of the stroller. So, but yeah, baby steps. And then a friend of mine reached out to me and she was like, don't you belong to the Y? And I was like, yeah, but I haven't been. And she was like, well, come and do a class with me. And I was like, okay. So I went and did a class with her and I loved it. And then I went and did another class with her and I loved that one. And then that just like, she brought me in and it, that was all I needed. And I was hooked. And then I dropped a lot of weight and I was getting buff and looking really good. And I felt so good about myself. Mm-hmm. And it's a good feeling. You know what I mean? To know that one, where I started contemplating gastric bypass and I didn't do it. And I just was like, no, diet and exercise, lifestyle changes.
It does do a lot. That's the most
important
for sure.
thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could talk about fitness and all of that all day. We could be here all day with me talking about it.
if you want, we could do this weekly and do a strictly fitness live stream. I'm completely cool with that.
Hey, there you go.
I mean, years ago, I had messed up my hip pretty bad. And I started doing DDP yoga and I started off on the lower end, you know, using a chair for balance and stuff. And it really worked out well for me. Once I started noticing a difference day to day, little by little, I mean, it really amped up my confidence and I started seeing where my balance was at and all that. It just absolutely amazing when you take those baby steps to get where you got to go.
Yeah. Yes. And there's nothing wrong with baby steps and there's nothing wrong with modifying. I have a knee injury. My shoulder's bothering me. But my knee injury is like number one needs to get taken care of. But so I have to modify pretty much everything because of my knee. There's days where I can't even bend my knee to 90 degrees. Mm. So I have to modify everything. You know what I mean? And that's okay. I was actually talking to someone in the sauna and she's just starting out in her fitness journey too. And we had taken a class together. And so when I came into the sauna, she was already in there. And so she said something to me first. And so we just had a conversation. She was like, yeah, I left. So this class in particular, the end of the class is a core. It's like 5 minutes of core, and then you stretch and then you're done. Well, I didn't know that she left before we did the core track. I had no idea. But when it came to the core track, she left. And so she said, yeah, I left during the core track because my core is just not strong enough. And I was like, but honey, that's why you should stay for core.
Yes.
And she's like, but I just can't do it. I'm like, but if you do one crunch and then you lay there the rest of the time, then that's it. But the next time you go, do two crunches. Or, you know what I mean? Like, do something until you can't do it anymore and then stop. And trust me, no one is watching you. We're all laying down. We're looking up at the sky. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we can't see you. I didn't even know you left, you know? So, no one's watching you. And that was, I think that's what a lot of people feel is like everyone is watching them at the gym. And there might be one or two. Yeah, it makes you self-conscious, right? Yeah. Like, you know, there might be like one or two, but I guarantee they're not watching because they're judging you. They're probably, because I've had people tell me that they watched me in class and they were like, I loved the modifications you were doing. So I started to follow you because I wanted to do the modifications that you were doing. Doing it long enough. I know when the instructor's teaching something and I'm like, I can't do that because of my knee. Mm-hmm. I already know how to modify. So I'm already doing the modification before the instructor is giving the modification.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's not, it's not always, no one's watching you. They're watching themselves.
Because almost everybody in that place has the same self-consciousness as you do. Some people might put it off as confidence, but they're still self-conscious. That's why the confidence is sometimes, in essence, so strong with them, because they're really self-conscious.
Yeah, exactly.
What is your daily diet like, if you don't mind me asking, since, you know, over the last 4 years? Have you gone like a keto route, calorie count?
Yeah, so I've done a few things. And in the beginning, I just started with intermittent fasting. I didn't change anything that I was doing as far as like what I was putting into my body. I just started intermittent fasting. And while I was fasting, I would just drink a lot of water. Sometimes I would do lemon water.
Okay.
But mostly it was just like water. And then, so I would do intermittent fasting. And so the weight kind of slowly started to come off just with doing that. And then I started exercising. Then I did, I started trying to cut out sugar because sugar's so bad. I mean, it's really horrible on our bodies. And so I knew that I drank like 4 cups of coffee in the morning, and I would put this much cream and this much coffee. Creamer. I would put that much creamer and this much coffee. So in total, I was probably drinking 1 cup of coffee, but split between 4, you know what I mean? So I was like, I have to stop drinking coffee in the morning because I don't like it black. And I'm putting so many empty calories every morning, you know, before I even have breakfast. So I cut that out and started drinking hot tea, flavored hot tea. And so I really got into hot tea. Like, I had like a whole pantry shelf of different flavors of tea.
Nice.
And if I needed it to be sweet, I would put Splenda in it, but I didn't like really the taste of Splenda. So I just went and put it in there. So I just tried to like cut out sugars, unnecessary sugars. And so I was doing good with that. And then like I cut out soda. I started drinking these sparkling ice drinks. I don't know if everybody knows what they are, but it's basically, I think they're like 10 calories, but everything else is like zero. Like, there's no sugar, there's no carbs, there's like no nothing. So then I drank that instead of soda. And then my cousin, I was talking to my cousin and she was like, I'm thinking about doing keto and low carb. Do you want to do it with me? And I was like, tell me about this because I like carbs. I like pasta. I like this. I like that. And so she just talked to me about it and she was same. Like, yeah, right. Like I like bread.
Yes. I like eating bread.
I like eating, right. I like eating pasta. And, you know, she was like, well, you can have all of those things. You just can't have like regular pasta. Like they make pasta substitute that's low carb, you know. You can do spaghetti squash. Like there's different substitutes you can do and still be able to eat everything that you want. So I was like, well, I'll try it. Fine. So it was like very reluctantly. And so I did. And I felt like I really could eat what I wanted. I might have to make it myself. Like if I want a cinnamon roll, I can have a cinnamon roll. I just have to like make it myself, you know?
Yeah.
I could even, if I was having a craving for a cinnamon roll, I could make a mug cake in my microwave and make it taste like a cinnamon roll. You know what I mean? Like put cinnamon in it, make a vanilla one, put cinnamon in it. You know what I mean? I would use probably heavy cream and, there's powdered sugar that's sugar substitute and you can't even tell the difference that it's not real sugar by taste. So at least me, monk fruit.
Okay.
And so I would use that to make icing, you know what I mean? And just put it on the mug cake and then I'd have my cinnamon roll. Like there's a way to get your cravings and still be able to eat low carb or keto.
All right.
And so it's just something, it worked really well for me. And then I started doing Spartan races. And
what are Spartan races for people that don't know?
Yeah, so a Spartan race is an obstacle course race. So you may hear people say like OCR and abbreviate it, but that's obstacle course race. And that is, there's different brands of OCR and Spartan is just one of the brands. Now they have purchased some of the competition. But to me, Spartan was always like creme de la creme. Like they're the top, they're the hardest ones like that.
Okay.
Like Spartan. Spartan is more like military based. Joe DeSena is very like hardcore. Like he's the owner of it and he's like super hardcore. Like he's not messing around. And so it can be intense, but I do the heats that are like, you're not competing. So it's a little bit more fun.
It's at your own pace.
Yeah. And I've done, other OCR brands, which I loved. And there was one, they have like this huge water slide. And I was like laughing with my friends because we all do Spartans together. I'm like, can you imagine if Spartan had one of these like, water slides? Like people would think Joe totally went soft. You know what I mean? But I had so much fun doing this water. You had to like climb. I mean, it was an obstacle to be able to go down the slide. And then they were very nice because if you couldn't do the obstacle, they had stairs where you'd be able to climb up and be able to go down the slide. So everybody got to participate. And saying like in Spartan, if you didn't get to the top, by doing the obstacle, you weren't going down the slide if they had it there. You know what I mean? That would be the difference.
So we had one Sarge, there's a Mr. Dwayne Bruce used to go by Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker back in WCW days. He just commented and asked if he said, is Sarge making an appearance as well?
He is not.
He's not good, home. Sir.
I'm sorry. I'm not at the slaughterhouse today.
So speaking of the slaughterhouse, isn't A&E, I don't know if they have, or are they coming up doing a biography?
There is an A&E biography on my dad. So I think the premiere date is like the 25th or 26th of February.
Don't forget to check out Nelly's Artistic Creations for all your artistic needs.
Looking for a special occasion for a friend, family, or loved one. Be sure to check out Nellie's artistic creations on all social media and her website on BigCartel.com. That is Nellie's artistic creations. And with the holiday season coming up, nice piece of art will always cheer the soul.
So this weekend, right? That's this weekend.
Yes.
So the premiere is on Sunday. I think Randy Orton is the first one. We don't know which, like, we have no idea when they're going to show the one with my dad. They haven't told us. We just know when the season starts and that Randy is the first one. That's all we know.
Nice. With your dad being, you know, the famous guy that he is, how was it being on camera for the first time for you?
For the first time I saw him on camera, or for me?
No, for you.
For me? I'm trying to think of when was the first time I was ever on camera.
Like being interviewed or anything like that.
So I was in a commercial with my dad for the monster truck, the Bigfoot tug of war thing.
Yep.
I was in a commercial, but I never saw it. I never saw the commercial, so I have no idea.
I will have to find that and send it to you.
People have looked for it. They can't find it. People have looked for it. Yeah, I have no idea what happened to it, but I remember it. And my dad obviously remembers it too, but I was in a commercial. I was just like one of the other kids. Mm-hmm. My dad did Goofy Games one time, which was like it was kind of like an obstacle course race at Disney World, but they were like funny things that they would have to do. And they would have celebrities and like newscasters from different towns. And so my dad did Goofy Games.
That's awesome.
And I was on TV for that. Yeah. I was on TV for that, but I don't think I even saw that. Like, I saw like what they recorded of us. Like I got to watch what they recorded, but I don't think I ever, because the news station, the newscaster that we were with, his news station didn't show where we lived. So I never saw it. Now, this was before the internet. this was before the internet. I'm aging myself here. So it's not like we could have just Googled it, because Google didn't.
Same. I'm so glad I got all my dumb stuff out of the way before camera phones were a thing.
I know, right? I mean, I still do some stupid stuff, but.
All right. I got to ask about it. The whole Lacey Evans thing.
Yeah.
How'd that come about? What's your take on it these days?
Well, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. If I were to get into professional wrestling and I would come out there saying that I was the most electrifying woman in sports entertainment, don't you think The Rock's daughters would be a little bit upset with that?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just one of those things. It was like a respect thing. And the WWE had asked my dad to be her manager. They wanted her to get over, and she wasn't able to do it on her own. And so they wanted him to come in and like help her. And so he talked to them, and there was like the contract negotiations, and I mean, he was all for it. He wanted to help her and wanted to make her a champion and do what he could. And when the contract negotiations came up, it just didn't make sense for him to sign the contract. And they wouldn't make it make sense for him to sign the contract. So he didn't sign the contract. So we thought that would be it. So the fact that they still did it, but without him, it was like a slap in the face.
I understand where you're coming from there. That makes total sense. I definitely would have not been happy about that whatsoever.
The pushback that I got over that, like, I feel like I got a lot of heat for that. And I'm like, do you guys not, like, people were saying, like, I thought my dad invented the military. They were calling me a mark, like all sorts of stuff. And I'm like, I don't think my dad invented the military. Like, I'm not an idiot. Yeah. But he did invent Sergeant Slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did invent Sergeant Slaughter. That's his gimmick. It's his, I mean, that's his trademark.
And, it is.
Yeah, it was surprising to me. And I think there were a lot of people that were on my side, but I just think the negative really, I just got a lot of heat for it. Yeah, I got a lot of heat for it. And that's fine. It actually, getting that heat made me be like, you know what? If I got into wrestling, I think I would like to be a heel, because you can be a total bitch yep. to people and it doesn't matter because you're a heel, you're a jerk. You know what
exactly.
I mean? So I'm like, that's
exactly.
fine. And it's also one of those things where it's like, those kind of comments don't bother me because those people making those comments don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know anything about me. You know what I mean? It's like that. Why would I let a nobody affect me? They exactly. know not, like, they don't mean anything to me. So their opinion doesn't mean anything to me. You know, now my friends and my family, if they were like coming at me like that, then I might have been like, whoa, okay, let me like reevaluate, let me like figure out like what I've where I've gone wrong here and how I can fix it, you know. So, but it was fun. I did have fun with it. I had tweeted stuff to her before that.
Mm-hmm.
And so why she took that tweet and tweeted it out, I don't know. I have no idea why that's the one that got to her, but I triggered her and I got her to, she retweeted it, and that's why it took off. Because like I said, I tweeted stuff to her before about using his gimmick.
Mm.
And
I think it was just that one that was just enough to garner attention. And maybe on the flip side of the business aspect of things, like, oh, now this is more publicized now, that maybe it might in the end help her character, or, you know, or whatever. But.
Yes, exactly. In fact, it made me, I almost DM'd her and said, you're welcome. But I didn't. And I've never spoken to her, just through tweets. And I, when it took off like that, I was like, you know what? I'm going to have some fun. And I posted like a funny little video about, I was bench pressing her build weight.
Nice.
And I like bench it. And I was like, hey, I can bench your weight. Can you bench mine? Kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
Like, it was just a fun little thing. And I flicked her off at the end. And I thought it was funny, and my friends thought it was funny, and my husband thought it was funny. My dad thought it was hilarious. So
yeah.
I posted it, and then she like called me ugly or something. I'm like, okay. Like, that you want to like now like shame me and talk about how I look or whatever, like that's all you've got. If that
yeah.
had been me, I would have been trying to bench weight and like come back with something better than what she came back
yes.
with. She did what she did, and it's fine.
Have you seen
never.
Have you used to squash the beef on it, as they call it?
I mean, we've never spoken. She's
so it just kind of fizzled out.
Me and my dad in a negative way, and she can do and say whatever she wants. She's not wrestling anymore, and she decided she didn't want to do it, or they let her go, and she said that she wanted to be released. I don't even know. I wasn't there, so I don't know what happened, but she's not wrestling yeah. anymore.
Well, and good for her.
Yeah. Good for her. Apparently, she's got some things going on that seem like that's what she wants to be doing. I don't know. I don't follow her. I don't know. I don't know anything about what she's doing now.
She's not on your radar whatsoever.
No, she's not on my radar. Although I did hear that she had an OnlyFans. So that's cool. Go check that out.
Aye, aye, aye. That seems like the last spot nowadays when all else fails, go to OnlyFans.
Well, there's that one former wrestler. What's her name? She's going to be, I'm going to the UK with
Mandy
my dad.
Rose.
She's going to be there. Yes. She made one person spent $55,000.
Yes. I had just seen that. I was like, oh my God, $55,000. That's easily at least one car and maybe a boat for me, you know. I'd rather spend that.
Yeah.
Maybe at least I know I'm pissing my money away the right way then.
Right. But just don't forget, if you're gonna announce that publicly, to claim it on your taxes.
Exactly.
Don't forget. yeah. So people send me stuff every now and then where she's like talked badly about my dad and I. And I mean,
in the end, you got to look at it this way. Your dad is a Hall of Fame legend that has cemented his legacy in wrestling. And where is she? OnlyFans.
So. Right. But yeah, hey, like, you know what? If that's what she has to do to feed her family, more power to her. That's awesome. Like, do whatever you need to do to put food on the plate. If that's how you need to do it, then do it. I don't know that I would. I don't want to say I would never do it, because never say never. Mm-hmm. I think my dad would be really disappointed in me if I did it. I think my husband would think it was hot. Cause he'd be the one taking the pictures for me. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
But I feel like my OnlyFans, I would still just be posting like workout stuff. Cause I'm like sexy like that. You know what I mean? I'm just not.
But
if you want pictures of my feet,
I was going to say, if I could set up an OnlyFans for feet pics, I'd be all in it, but I don't think nobody wants to see those gnarly things.
Yeah, right? Well, I don't know. Apparently, like, sometimes, like, the more gnarly they are, the better they like them. Some of them want pretty feet, and then some of them want, like, gnarly ones, right?
Yeah.
Or, like, really stinky ones, I've heard.
Then you get to send
There's
socks to people
TV
and stuff
that
like
that. On a Yeah.
There's a guy anyway, you watch on TV?
There's a guy I watch on a reality show, and he's like got a foot fetish. And so he's like after you've been out at the club, like dancing and stuff, like that's when I want your feet, when they're like sweaty and gross and stinky.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I can't say that's my
cup. That's not my thing. Not my thing, but I would never know someone else's O.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah. So if that's your thing, that's fine. I'm not going to judge.
Respectfully so. Respectfully so.
Yeah.
To each their own.
To each their own.
I grew up with G.I. Joe, so I got to ask this. Did you get the G.I. Joe song stuck in your head when you were a kid because of your dad being on it?
No.
For me, I did. I would catch myself singing that song.
I'm trying to think of the song right now.
I can't. I'm having a mental block on purpose right now, but when I was a kid, I would sing that.
G.I. Joe, real American
hero.
Save the day. He never gives up. He's always there.
Yes.
Singing, or are you gonna get like a?
You can keep going. Keep going.
Fighting for freedom over land and air.
Yes. Yes. That's it right there. Oh man.
So now it's gonna be stuck in my head. But
you're welcome.
Yeah. When I was a kid, obviously I watched it enough to know the words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you were watching it on TV, did you go, man, that really does look like my dad?
Yeah.
Did you critique it a little bit?
Well, it's like, it looks like Sarge, you know, but like not my dad, you know what I mean?
Not Mr. Remus.
My dad, I give him a hard time, and everybody that collects, I'm always like, this doll, I call it a doll. It's an action figure, but I'm like, Dad, this doll of yours has all these muscles and like these bumps and stuff on it. And you don't look like that.
What'd she say to that?
And he's like, oh, that's because it's an action figure and I'm supposed to be all buff. And in the cartoon, I'm all buff. And yeah.
Oh, man.
He was not allowed to live in the clouds at all. We brought him right back down to earth.
Do you have any stories from the road with him at all that you'd like to share?
Let's see. We didn't really go on the road with him. Like we may.
Okay.
I did. We would go to matches that if they were close by to where we were. I do remember he was wrestling the Iron Sheik. And I was 5 or 6 years old. And it was in the maybe 7. And it was in the Poconos. And it was actually the promoters were Rocky Johnson. The Rock's parents were the.
Yeah, they were out of the Allentown area and did a lot of promoting it up that way.
So they were the promoters. And so him and Sheik were going to wrestle. And so we go into the space that they're wrestling. And my mom and my sister and I are sitting at a table. And I'll never forget because it had like one of those like candle things. I don't know how to explain it, but very like 80s candle things that we used to have on the restaurants. On the tables in the restaurants to give the ambiance. Anyway, I don't know why I'm like fixating on this candle. Anyway, okay. So,
well, you're 5-6 years old. So, I mean, it stood
so,
out.
So, Sheik comes out and he has a weapon. He's got like a knife or something like that. And he shows the crowd and he puts it in his belt. And then the ref is like, what? Like talking to the crowd, right? And they're like, what? He's got a weapon. Where? And so he goes and he checks his boots. Well, the weapon's not there because it's in his belt, right? Mm. Then Sheik, behind the ref's back, moves it from his belt to his boot. So the ref turns around again. He's like, I'm going to check you for this weapon. And then he's checking his belt, right? And it's not there. Uh-huh. So this goes on back and forth however many times. And my sister and I are freaking out because this guy has a weapon and he's getting ready to wrestle our dad. You know, so I think I'm like screaming like there's a weapon and he's going to like kill my dad. And so Sheik, my dad finally comes out and they wrestle. And so my dad gets busted open. He's bleeding. It was my sister and I just lost it crying. My mom's like leaping over the table at us. A candle goes flying. Like, you know what I mean? Like she's like holding us, like putting our heads down so we can't watch and all this stuff. And so the match ends and my dad wins. And my sister and my mom and I go to go backstage and I broke off and I ran over to where my dad was walking out. Or walking to go backstage. And I like jumped the barriers. I like, was like, Daddy! And he says all of a sudden he's walking back and he feels this tug on his arm. And he looked down and it was me. And I was just like hysterical. And he was like, oh, Kelly. And he picks me up or whatever and carries me backstage. And he says, he walks through the curtain. And there's my mom holding my sister going, I can't believe you just did that. What is wrong wrong with you? You know?
Yeah.
My dad's like, I didn't know. I didn't know he was going to do that. Like, I had no idea. So, yeah, it was like extremely traumatic. Yeah, that was so that was like one of the big stories I have. And I honestly, I don't remember. There was a match before that. Mm-hmm. And then there was this match. And then we didn't go to matches for a really long time after that. And I think it was because my sister was very sensitive. My sister's a lot more sensitive than I am. And so she absolutely refused. And even if I did want to go, my mom wasn't into wrestling. So she wasn't very keen on just bringing me. So my sister didn't want to go. That meant I didn't get to go. So it was a very long time until we got to see him wrestle again.
All right. I think the last time I seen your dad was actually up at the Hamburg Fieldhouse. 2 years ago, I think he was up there for a signing. It's one of those places, the Hamburg Fieldhouse, all the wrestlers went through at one point in time. And now, unfortunately, is no more. So I'm glad I actually got to run into him there.
Yeah.
That was one of those spots during the early WWF days. They would do a lot of their tapings out of it and stuff.
Oh, cool.
All right. So we talked about wrestling and stuff like that. Let's get back into health.
Okay.
So you were talking about the Sparta Fitness stuff. When is the next event coming up?
Yes. So I tore my meniscus, and so I thought that my racing season it's definitely not going to be what it was. I may possibly need to have surgery. My goal for this year, last year I did 2 trifectas, which is 3 races, basically like a small, a medium, and a large race, right? Okay. It's a 5K, 10K, and a 21K. And you can either do them in one weekend, or you can space them out through the calendar year, and that is still considered a trifecta. But they do have trifecta weekends where you can do it all in one weekend. And if you do it in one weekend, you get an extra special medal for doing a trifecta weekend.
Okay.
And so last year, I did 1 trifecta through the year plus a trifecta weekend. This year, I wanted to do 2 trifecta weekends and then space out the 3rd trifecta throughout the year. I already missed one of the trifecta weekends, so there's 1 trifecta that's not happening for me this year. I am racing in Charlotte on April the 6th, I believe it is. It's a Saturday. I'm doing the sprint, and the Charlotte race will always be a special race to me. 1, it's my home race. Mm-hmm. 2, it's the race that started me on Spartan. Race that I started out with the sprint, which is a 5K in Charlotte. And I don't think I would be able, even if I had already had surgery, I think I still would have gone, been hobbling along. I'm doing this race. I don't care how many penalty loops I have to do. So I'm doing the Charlotte race. My kids are going to race the next day.
Oh, that is awesome.
Our kids race too. Yeah. So,
hey guys, I just want to give a quick shout out to the Deluxe Podcast Edition. If you like all things podcasts and different kind of unique interviews, definitely check those guys out. Another podcast to check out is the 3 Beards of Wrestling. If you're into indie wrestling, pro wrestling, all kinds of wrestling talk, definitely check out the 3 Beards of Wrestling podcast. That is my shameless promos for the rest of this episode, so enjoy the rest.
We're a Spartan family, and that really... So when I started doing Spartans, I was like, I need more carbs.
You definitely need carbs for something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And so I started incorporating carbs, and then I really just was working out and training so much. I felt like well, if I add these carbs, let me add these carbs. And then let me do this. And then it's okay if I have that candy bar. And it's okay if I have that bag of chips. And it's okay if I eat this. And it's okay if I eat this. And it's, and I just got out of control and felt like I can eat whatever I want because I work out so much. And that is not true. And so I've recently gotten back into low carb and keto.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, follow me on Kelly Slaughter, my Facebook page. I post a lot of my workouts. I post what I'm eating. I don't like, it's not like this is what I eat in a day kind of thing. It's just, hey, there's this recipe that I'm doing and I'm going to eat off of this all week because my whole family's not keto. It's just me that's keto. And so they'll eat what I eat. Like if I make spaghetti, they'll eat that, but they're going to have spaghetti noodles, whereas I'm going to have zoodles or something else. So I'm back doing keto and I weighed myself this morning. I think I've lost 13 pounds.
Congratulations.
So yeah, thank you. I'm happy with that. And I'm still, you know, doing all my workouts and all of that. But once I get that down to my goal, then I'll be in maintenance. And then that's when I'll start adding the carbs back in.
Okay.
But I just know for me, I have to be strict. Like I'm an all or nothing kind of girl. Like I tried to count macros, like the macro counting, which I love that. Like I wish maybe with enough therapy I could be, but I wish I could be that person that's like, oh, a serving of Oreos is 2 cookies. So I'm going to eat a serving. I'm only going to eat 2. Who eats 2 Oreos?
Not me. I've watched my dad count calories and he goes, I can eat whatever I want as long as I count my calories. And I'd watch him do the 1 or 2 Oreos, have a cup of spaghetti. And I mean, I've watched him drop. He was about 300-400 pounds. And keep in mind, I was real young and it was in a matter of months. He just shed weight from counting calories. He'd get out there and hike every day. He quit smoking at the same time. I mean, I just remember I was 8 years old, roughly. My dad was just absolutely miserable during that time period. But afterwards, he's like, all right, started feeling better, started getting his routine of things, and it was different. But at first, it was like, stay out of his way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as a former smoker, that's probably where it was coming from. Because he didn't have that advice anymore. But then to do that on top of like counting calories, which listen, I'm not saying you can't do that. I just, for me, when I was counting macros and I had so many carbs, so many grams of fat and so many grams of protein that I had to intake every day, it was hard for me. You know what I mean? It was more difficult. And I feel like counting carbs for some reason is easier for me, although I will say right now I'm not counting carbs. Because so to be keto and for your body to go into ketosis, you should be eating 20 net carbs and under.
Okay.
But I'm not counting that right now because I wanted to get back into the swing of things and just make sure that like this is what I wanted to do again and all of that. Now, I could probably start counting now, but I'm happy with what I'm doing now. And I am doing it, I feel like, a little differently because of what I did learn when I was macro counting, and which is like, it's so much better to get your nutrients from whole foods, you know, and like trying to incorporate the broccoli and the cauliflower and just trying to. Now, I definitely still eat processed stuff because it's just easier. And like I was saying, like you can eat what you want because there's going to be some kind of dupe for it and you might have to make it yourself. But there's actually keto cinnamon rolls that I can go buy. You know what I mean? Like they make these things. It's just very processed. But for convenience, why not?
When you quit smoking, was it during your health transition or was this before when you quit smoking?
So I quit smoking twice. I quit smoking with baby number one.
Okay.
Then I had quit smoking for like 5 years, and then I started smoking again, and then I got pregnant with baby number two, and then I quit smoking because I was pregnant, and I never went back to it. So I'm right. My daughter is five. So, you know, 9 months before that. So 6 years now I'm going without smoking.
Congratulations. I got the patch on now. I'm trying to quit myself. So
it is very difficult. And I honestly, if I were to take up smoking again, I don't think I'd be able to quit because I quit because I got pregnant and I'm not getting pregnant again. So I don't think I would be able to quit again. It is extremely hard. And so more power to you. I wish you the best of luck. Stick Thank with you. It. And it's literally like, you know, with alcohol, they'll say it's like one day at a time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like 1 hour at a time. And that's the same thing with cigarettes. Sometimes it's 1 hour at a time. Like if you can just sit there and be like, okay, I haven't had a cigarette in an hour. I really want one. Let me just wait another hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and find something that you can replace with it that's maybe like healthier for you, like chewing gum or
keeping my hands occupied with a fan.
Exactly. One of those like fidget rings where you can like fidget, you know what I mean? Like those things. And yeah, keeping yourself busy. I had a friend of mine quit smoking and she said she lost so much weight because she would go for a walk. If she felt like it.
Really?
Okay.
Really? Mm-hmm. That is probably one of the best ideas right there is get out and walk mm-hmm. every time you feel for one. My biggest thing that was for me is I enjoy being outside, and that was my spot to smoke a cigarette because we didn't smoke in the house. My son, when he was 3 years old, he had two forms of leukemia, and he had a lot of issues from chemo and stuff like that affected his lungs. So
oh, my goodness.
We tried it.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, he's doing awesome now, though. I mean, it's good. You know, he's my hero. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
He's my hero.
He's been through a lot.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
Yeah.
You know, more than most people I think on this earth have seen, he's been through. Yeah. And I just, you know, like I said, he's my hero.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. I love that.
So. In the G.I. Joe comics, like when you watch it, and your dad's voice was more amplified, did you relate that to wrestling right away? Like, that's wrestling, Dad. That's not real, Dad.
No, because it was just Sarge.
It was just Sarge.
Yeah, because it was the same to me. It's the same voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
What is
like that at home?
Thank God. What is like one of the best pieces of advice?
Well, when he was really mad, sometimes Sarge would come out, but you know.
Awesome.
Yeah. Sometimes, but again, we would be like, no, Dad, like your dad, like you're not doing we're not doing this. Step it back. I'm sure he loved it. I'm sure he loved hearing like little Kelly being like, you're not Sarge. Don't yell at me like that.
What is one of the best pieces of advice your dad ever gave you? You don't mind me asking.
Oh, never let your enemies eat your breakfast.
I like that.
I don't know.
Oh. I like that.
That is the first thing that popped in my head, but man, that is such a good question. The best piece of advice he's ever given me. I don't know. He taught me a lot of things. I like to tell him every Father's Day how much he taught me. Like that, he taught me we didn't own the power company, and that money didn't grow on trees. And but I think I actually, you know what? I think in a way, I don't know if it's like a life lesson that I learned from him because of him wrestling is other people's opinions don't matter. Like what other people think of you doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think like when he was an Iraqi sympathizer and we went through Tech. I don't know if I can swear on here. I probably should have asked
you. Oh, you can say whatever you want to. Perfectly fine.
Well, we went through hell when my dad was an Iraqi sympathizer, and but I feel like that's what I learned from him during that time, because he didn't let the things that people were saying bother him. And when I would tell him what the kids were saying to me, he would just say, well, tell them we're laughing all the way to the bank. You know,
So during that, when he was sympathizing with Iraq, how did that affect you guys? I was going to bring that up, but I wasn't sure, you know, during those time periods of that happening when, the United States was very patriotic at that time. How did you guys take that?
Well, my dad sat us down and told us that he was going to be doing this. And I feel like he may have like smartened us up a little bit to wrestling to the business, maybe a little bit before that. But when that was happening, he 100% smartened us up to the business and was like, this is not, it's not real. Dad's not really meeting, you know, these people, and you're going to see this picture. And it, you know what I mean? Like, he really made sure that we knew, and we're smart to the business. And he would always tell us before that, that daddy's not really getting hurt. It's like a dance and, you know, stuff like that. But, it was a very difficult time. I was in sixth grade, so I was 11, maybe. So I didn't really understand politics. I didn't know, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't even know where Iraq was. You know what I mean? Like, I just it wasn't on my radar. So I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal, because all these people that I went to school with, like, they knew who my dad was, right? By this point, like, we'd lived there for long enough for them to have like met my dad, and for my dad to do all these events at the school and all this stuff. And so the way I was treated by some of the kids was kind of like, you know, I guess I wasn't really expecting it, but we had death threats against us. My mom remembers getting a call from Vince to tell her, like, hey, this has happened, and I've got a security team on their way to your house right now. And we've got, I can't remember where my dad was, but it wasn't, he wasn't able to be communicated with at that time. Like, he was in an airplane or somewhere, you know. Remember, cell phones weren't a thing then. There was no internet. So, you know, we've got people getting to your husband and death threats, pretty much tortured every day in school. Yeah, it was a pretty difficult time, but I do want to say, like, I was getting tortured in school, but I was giving it right back to them. Like, I wasn't just sitting there and taking it. I was going off on them just as much as they were going off on me. So, a lot of like verbal fighting and back and forth things happening.
Kids can be cruel.
Yeah, they can be cruel. Unfortunately, adults can be cruel too.
Yes. By the way, Patrick and Shane both say hi.
Hi, Patrick. Hi, Shane. Thanks for tuning in and listening to me ramble.
Death threats. I mean, that's, how old were you during that time when it was going on?
So I was sixth grade, so I was like 11, 10 or 11, somewhere like that. Or 11 or 12. And my son's age, actually. So when he went into sixth grade, I was like, you're going to have a much better sixth grade than mommy had.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it's such an awkward time anyway. You know, that like period of like middle school is like a very awkward time for kids. And so to add that, but yeah, we were followed everywhere by security. They lived in a RV outside of our house. I found out they would follow us at school. They would follow us to the mall. And they like followed us everywhere. It was like they were like, we're here, but we don't want you to know we're here. But we knew they were there, you know. And no kitty. Sorry.
That's all right.
My cat's been sleeping the whole time and she just woke up and is now clawing something. But anyway, so no, it was not a... oh, I found out recently that not only were there death threats against us, but there were people that knew my name. They knew my sister's name. Like, they knew our real names. We were... This was back in the day where you could actually pay to be private in the phone book. So nobody knew, you couldn't look us up in the white pages. And we were unlisted, right? You couldn't even call the operator and ask who for our information. And so these people knew where we lived. They knew our address. They knew me and my sister's names. They knew our ages. They knew where we went to school. They knew where my mom worked. So they had done their research. So it wasn't just people calling in mad saying, we're going to kill him. We're going to shoot him up, blah, blah, blah. It was like, we're coming for him and we're coming for his family. And they live here and we're going to come in. You know what I mean? So,
wow.
I'm glad that is, I didn't know that back then. Yeah.
That's I mean, looking back in hindsight, that's very scary, you know, but I wasn't sure if I was going to bring that topic up or not, but I'm glad we got on that.
Bring it up. Whatever you want to ask me. If I don't want to answer, I'll just say I'm not answering that.
that was the taboo one there, I think. Was there any wrestler that besides your dad, you know, being around a kid of the business that you kind of looked up to, or they were just dad's coworkers?
I mean, they were really just dad's coworkers. There were some wrestlers that my dad considered friends, and it was, you know, you could count them on one hand. And he always said, you don't have friends in this business. But Roddy Piper was one. Pat Patterson was one. I actually have a picture of me holding up a sign saying, hi, Pat. Hi, Pat. Hi, Louie. My sister and I, and I'm trying to think of who else. Lord Alfred Hayes, that was another one.
There's a name I don't hear too much nowadays.
Yeah, he really meant a lot to my dad. Lord Alfred did, and to our family too. He became a very close friend, family friend to my dad and to our family. Don Kronodal, I called him Uncle Don. So very few people that my dad would have come to our house, and for us to meet and things like that. But, I do remember I really liked my cat. I don't know. Oh, I thought she was here. I was going to say, hey, look, there's my cat, but she's not there. I remember loving Jake the Snake because I liked the snake and I wanted one. There was like no other reason why I liked him. It was literally because of the snake.
Did you talk your dad into getting you a snake?
I wanted one and my mom was like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. She will grow out of it. Get her one.
Why are most mothers like that? I mean, my mom, you could say rubber snake and she will like and think it's right in front of her and get scared and move along. I'm like, no, we're just talking about it, Mom. Like it's just the thought of it like would freak her out.
I'm going to tell you why. You fear what you don't know. And if you don't know anything about snakes, you're going to be fearful of them, right? Because you don't know what this big thing that's slithering around is going to do. Is it going to bite me? Is it going to wrap around my neck? Like, you know, because I used to have, so I wanted a snake, like I wanted a python, like Jake the Snake, right? But then as I got older and I grew out of it, as my mom would say, I did develop a fear of snakes. I always had a fear of spiders, but I developed a fear of snakes. And somebody told me that, like, you fear what you don't know. And so I was like, well, then let me learn. Let me educate myself on spiders and snakes. So that's what I did. Now I'm like, absolutely, spiders can still go F themselves.
I'm right there with you.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're outside, like, I actually think spiders are fascinating when they're outside and they're in their own environment and I can see them. And like, I, you know, my husband and I have been known to like maybe catch a moth and throw it into a web just to like see the whole thing. But anyway, don't come at me.
It happens.
Yeah. So I mean, it just kind of flew in that direction. So, you know, they're fascinating, right? When they're outside. When they're in my house, they are foreign invaders and they must die.
I can agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'll go get my cat and I'll be like, look, there's a spider, go get it. And then they'll take care of them. But snakes, because where I live, we have venomous snakes here, mm-hmm. but not like a lot of them. Like, we pretty much just the copperhead. There's a rattlesnake here too, but really not where I live. What we have to worry about here is copperhead. So I know what a copperhead looks like. I've mm-hmm. educated myself. I know the difference between a rat snake, a copperhead, I know the difference. And so now when I see a snake, I can say that's not a copperhead. That's a brown DK snake, or that's a black snake. That's a racer. That's a king snake. You know what I mean? Like, I can name the ones in my area. What they are. So I educated myself and it took the fear away. But I feel like that's what it is. Now, you can like see them and they give you the heebie-jeebies, mm-hmm. you know, but I feel like once you learn about them, it takes that away. It takes the unknown away.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. When I was 17, I worked for a pet store in the mall, and they had like rose hairs, tarantulas and stuff like that, and ball pythons and all that. We used to have to take the rose hair tarantulas out sometimes and hold them. Exactly. I didn't have a fear of spiders up until that point. Right. Because you could feel the little spiky spines like hold into your skin. Oh, I still to this day get chills going through me thinking about it. Oh, no. Nope. No. They can F themselves all the way over that way.
All the way. Like, all the way.
Yes. Yes.
All
yes.
the way. Yes. Yes. Oh, my cat's trying to attack me. This is my spider getter.
Nice.
She's just a kitten still. We Aww. Saved her from a storm drain. Her name is Boo, because we got her in October Boo. And she's black. So Aww. I named her Boo. And every time I tried to call her something else, Boo came out. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to try, because we found her in a storm drain, right? So I'm like, Storm, Stormy. Okay. So when I see her, I'm going to call her Storm. And I'd see her and I'd go, Boo. So her name is Boo.
Nice. She's
the one. My other cat could care less, but she'll eat the spiders.
My cat right now, I think he's off somewhere snoring away. We've had ours for about 6 years, and he is just an absolute joy. I mean, I swear, yeah. My cat is like my emotional support cat. Don't tell anybody that, but I come home from work or whatever I'm doing, I'm like, what's up, buddy? And he's there to greet me, and you know, it's just, yeah, an absolute pleasure.
Yes. She actually, so I had an emotional support cat, and I didn't realize that he was my emotional support cat until he went missing. Aww. And his name was Loki, and he was also all black, and I used to call him the demon cat, because I swear sometimes he would, like, you know how back in the day they would say, like, the cat will suck your breath out?
Mm-hmm.
Loki wanted to suck my breath out. I would wake up, like I had to start closing my door and locking him out of my bedroom because I would wake up and he'd be trying to like suck my lips. And I'm like, he's the cat that if I died, he would eat my face. But anyway, so I
Yes,
called him the
yes.
demon cat, but he really was like my emotional support cat because he greeted me at the door. He really acted more like a dog. Like he would greet me at the door when I came home. He would come when I called him. He would, so he got the memo about staying out of my room, and I would start keeping my bedroom door open again. And as soon as he would hear my alarm, I could hear him come like barreling down the hallway, and he would just fly and land right here on my chest. And then we would like love each other, and I would just like rub all my face all over his. And yeah, so I miss him so much. And so when I saw her, I was like, okay, I need to, it's meant to be. It's meant to be. And she was born around the same time that he went missing. And
Oh.
he sent her to me. Yeah.
Mine now.
Yeah, you're mine now. But she had a rough go of it. She had a ringworm. It was so she had to be separated from everyone for like 4 or 5 weeks. So there she goes. There she is. Oh God. So yeah, she had a rough go of it, and I try to tell her, I'm like, you're safe. And you don't have to scavenge for food anymore. Like, so you have like a whole bowl of food for you, two bowls of food. She's got a dry food bowl and a wet food bowl. And I'm like, so the grape that falls on the floor, you don't have to eat that. You know, like you don't have to scavenge for food. Like, you don't have to eat crumbs, honey. You've got a whole bowl of food over there you can eat. Oh, now she wants out of the room. So she's going to be crying.
That sounds familiar. My cat does the same thing. About 5 o'clock in the morning, it sounds like my cat's walking around the house going, "Hello? Hello?" Basically trying to wake everybody up so he gets his wet food that time in the morning.
Yeah. Nice.
I got to the point where we had to close our bedroom door, and he's outside just saying hello for a good solid 20 minutes and trying to reach under the door and open it up and like start shaking it.
Oh my God.
Oh, he
Yeah,
was an
I
absolute
feed,
terror with
so
that.
my cats get one can of wet food each a day, and I give it to them at night. That way they're not bothering me in
See,
the morning like yours does.
we should have done that. I mean,
Yeah.
it was convenient at the time. Everybody was getting up for work, you know.
Yeah.
He'd be fed and gone.
Yeah. They get fed at bedtime. Well, because I have to separate them because the kitten will go eat all of the other one's food. So I have to separate them. So I just like, it's like my bedtime routine. I feed the one cat, bring the other one up, put her in my bathroom, feed her, and then let her out after she's done eating. So.
You got to separate them. That's for sure, especially when you got a little greedy one. Well, we have just reached over the hour mark. Usually I go about an hour for my interviews. But would you like to do this again sometime?
Absolutely. I would love to if you want me back on.
Oh my
I just want to say that I am so honored to be your first female guest.
Yes. Kelly is my first female guest here on the Bartender's Jukebox live streams. And I'd like to continue doing this more often, maybe every other month or something like that, have you on, and we could talk health, fitness, and all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, sounds good. Like I said, I could talk about it all day.
Hey, I'm perfectly fine with that as well. You know, I can always learn some new health techniques and fitness techniques, and if I can share that with my viewing audience, I would absolutely love it. And my
Oh,
wife just
fun.
had just messaged on the thing. Girls rule.
Yeah.
All right. We will definitely do this again, and we'll set up a few more dates for this. But thank you so much for being my first female guest.
Yeah,
And
you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
if y'all don't know, this is the Slaughter daughter, Miss Kelly Slaughter. And thank you so much for tuning in with us. Coming up next Thursday, I have Kid Cash on the show, And make sure to tune in. That's at 6 p.m. Eastern time, like always. Thank you again, Kelly, so much for your time. It is greatly appreciated. And like I always say to my listeners, stay thirsty for life. Cheers.
Thank you all for staying tuned here on the Bartender's Jukebox. That was Miss Kelly Slaughter, the Slaughter Daughter. What a great interview. I'm going to have her back on, and we're going to talk all things health and fitness. So definitely stay tuned for that. Like I always say, my friends, stay thirsty for life. Cheers. Always remember, friends, there's always help out there, no matter what kind of depression you're going through or no matter what life's throwing at you. Always remember there is help. If you feel like you're in need, text 988. That is the suicide hotline or text number, and you can get in contact with somebody right away. Hopefully this helps you if you're struggling, and if you're not, make sure to pass the word to help others out. Thank you very much, and cheers.
Escape.